So we're live. Hey, Supernaturals, this is your girl, Beverly. I am the founder of HairScripts, the platform that is connecting Black and brown women experiencing hair loss to dermatologists, trichologists for treatment and support. I am very excited about today's guest, board certified dermatologist, Dr. Luke, who is the absolute GOAT on Instagram, y'all. You have to follow her. Her content is so good. But we're going to jump right to the point because we know that you guys don't want to hear too much from me for too long. So, you know, we cover topics like hair loss, but we also talk about skincare, all things wellness. And today we're going to talk about hormonal acne or hormonal skincare. So, Dr. Luke, let's start with you first introducing yourself, telling us about yourself and your practice.
Hey, everyone. I'm so glad to be here today. Thanks so much for having me. I am Dr. Janine Luke. I'm a board certified dermatologist. I'm originally from California and I'm practicing in Southern California. I am an associate professor at the university. I work at Loma Linda University. I did my training, though, in New York and basically went to a place that has a skin of color center. So I did my training through Columbia University, but I have a specialty and expertise in skin of color. And so I not only, treat all patients, but have that specialty in medical cosmetic procedures in patients with darker skin types.
I hope you guys know that that's very important to find someone who specializes in skin of color because you cannot treat us all the same. So let's go right into it. So my question for you is, usually how does a person present with hormonal acne or hormonal issues? Like how do they come to you and just say, hey, I'm having hormone issues?
Yeah, so there are a couple clues that I tend to key in on when patients come to me and they're complaining of acne. Now, sometimes people have had acne when they were younger, but a lot of times, especially my female patients, they may not have had, you know, acne when they were younger. And so they're wondering, like, why am I getting acne now, you know, as an adult? So that's the first thing. They'll start to come to me and they may or may not have had a history of acne when they were younger. Secondly, they'll also come to me and they're complaining that they either get a lot of acne pimples or bumps along the jawline, on the cheeks, the lower face, or even along the neck. Mm-hmm. So sometimes they can be larger, more cystic acne. And then also I find that people will tell me that it tends to get worse either around the time of their period or right before their period. And so those are some things that I start to key in on. And then I also ask about other signs. And so typically when we think about hormonal acne, we tend to think about excess of the male dominant type hormones or androgens. So other things that we can see are either hair loss, where they can have almost like a pattern type of hair loss, or sometimes they can get excess hair kind of in a male distribution. Oh, so we'll ask about those things as well. And then we also, you know, we'll do a thorough history. I'll ask, you know, about whether or not their periods are regular to see if there are other types of hormonal, you know, conditions that I may need to consider.
So unpack it with what you said. So let's start with some of the signs, right? And the symptoms that people may start to notice. Like you said, they're going to start to see a lot of cystic bumps or a lot of acne around their chin, or it gets worse before their period. In other people's cases, their hair starts, you know, it either starts losing or they start losing hair, shedding. That was my case. I started experiencing excessive hair loss and it just, you know, I had to run, like run to a doctor because I was like, she had long hair down her back. So what's going on? So there are a lot of signs. And then you mentioned the male distribution of hair because, you know, listen, I'm not a spring chicken, okay? So, you know, there's some of us as we got older, we start noticing a little bit of, you know, like what's
exactly.
First of all, if that's you, there may be some hormonal stuff going on. But can mm-hmm. we talk about why? Can you unpack the why they didn't experience this as a teen or a kid and now they're having some hormonal issues? What happened?
Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, there's a couple different things that we should tease out here. So first of all, there are people that may not have a hormonal issue. Mm-hmm. They just may have a hormonal component to their acne. Like I was mentioning, where it gets worse around the time of their period. And so those, you know, people, we still do a complete workup. We still do lab testing. If they do not show any, you know, abnormalities with their hormones, then we can go ahead and talk about, you know, treatment options that are directed at, you know, stabilizing or normalizing the hormones so that they're, there's, like I said, not an excess problem, but relatively excess in the skin. So let's talk about the skin, you know, and what happens. Okay. And so there, when as a dermatologist, when I think about acne, we tend to think about the things that cause the acne and what's going on kind of at the skin level. And so first and foremost, there's an increase in sebum production. Okay. And sebum is a natural oil that our body makes, but too much of it can cause a problem. It can cause inflammation, but it can also cause the overgrowth of a bacterium that we all have, you know, on our skin, but tends to be excessive in patients who struggle with acne. So those patients tend to have more of this bacterium. And again, that leads to more inflammation, more of the, you know, cystic or, you know, inflammatory type of lesions that we can see. So that's first and foremost, you can have increased sebum production. The other thing is you can have abnormal keratinization. And so basically our follicles turn over regularly every month. But sometimes the pores can get clogged if that process is abnormal. And then, you know, like I mentioned, the bacterium, but then I also mentioned the hormones can affect the sebum production. And so the hormones are causing the increased sebum. You're still going to have those manifestations of the acne. And so, like I mentioned, it's more of a male dominant type of hormone or androgen. And we classically think of testosterone, but there are other things that are related to the testosterone that we also check as well, just to make sure. And what we're trying to do is trying to figure out where the source of the abnormal or excess hormones is coming from. So there's people who may not necessarily have a problem with their hormones, just have a hormonal component to their acne. Then there's another little bucket of people with a condition called PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome. And again, that's, you know, it's a whole syndrome. So there's other signs and symptoms that they have, but they have a problem with, you know, their ovulation, so they have abnormal or irregular periods, and that's another sign that I can ask about, but they also have the acne as well and abnormal or, you know, imbalance in their hormones. And that tends to be a huge bucket of patients when I see them and they're complaining of a hormonal type of acne. And then there are other, you know, hormonal other issues where, you know, for whatever reason, they may have like a growth or something that's secreting male type hormones where we have to do some other investigations. So those are the more common scenarios that I tend to see.
Okay.
The takeaway point is there's maybe some either imbalance or excess of the male type hormones.
So there's so much, like you said, to feather out, right? And there's so much that, I mean, honestly, I'm sure you could write a book or do a series on this. So what I like to do is kind of fine tune or hone in on a specific group so that we can target that group and help them out today. So you mentioned two groups. You mentioned the group that, you know, for the most part, they're the most general group, right? That have, you know, that's dealing with acne, and you try to kind of unpack what that cause of acne is. And whether it's sebum, whether it's, you know, the bacteria on their skin or whatever is going on. But then there's that, not to say smaller group, but there's that other group of women that is dealing with something called PCOS. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to those women today because there are a lot of those women. For some reason, I don't know why we don't talk about this. And it wasn't until I started having my own hormonal issues and I had to go through my own journey of figuring out what was wrong with me or causing my hair loss that I kind of opened up this world of PCOS. So let's start with what exactly is PCOS and then how do you treat a woman of color who comes in with PCOS or acne related, acne problems that's caused by PCOS?
Yeah. So first off, PCOS is an endocrine or hormonal type of disorder. And so I briefly mentioned kind of, what I tend to see. Usually they have problems with their periods. So irregular periods or no periods. And so we'll also ask about that. And then they tend to also have something called insulin resistance. And so everybody hears about like diabetes and things like that. And, everyone's familiar with that, but insulin resistance just means that the insulin is not working as well as it's supposed to. And there is a resistance, meaning it's not allowed to do what it's supposed to do. So that's another component. And then because of that, you can get, high circulating insulin in the body. And so with the circulating insulin, you're going to get increased androgen production.
Right.
And then, like I mentioned, we'll start to see the signs and symptoms of androgen excess, which could be the acne, it could be the hair loss, or sometimes even excess hair.
And how do you treat? I know there's no one size fit all, but usually there's no one size fit all, but I'm trying to speak to those women who usually try to do DIY treatments at home.
Yes.
And trying to show them that they can't necessarily always do DIY treatments. So what's the importance of seeing a dermatologist, and usually what's your process for treating them?
Yeah, so I usually work in conjunction with either an endocrinologist or even an OBGYN, just because of, like I mentioned, what's involved. They sometimes will put the patients on a medication called metformin, and that will help with the insulin resistance piece. So that's one piece of it. Sometimes we're also treating, in particular, like the acne, we can do that with, oral contraceptives. Mm-hmm. And so, that, like I said, can also be done in conjunction with their OBGYN. And so what we're trying to do, like I mentioned, is just balance things out a little bit more so that there's not a predominance of the male type of hormones. And so a lot of the oral contraceptives that can be used will help with that. And from my perspective, I'm always talking with the OBGYN and working with the patient, because there are technically a few oral contraceptives that are actually FDA approved to treat acne. Mm-hmm. So I'm always making sure that, if patients, even if they have a hormonal component to their acne, or they want contraception for other reasons, that they're at least discussing with their OBGYN about those particular contraceptives that help with acne. So what we don't want is to get a contraceptive that's going to make your acne worse. Mm. And so we usually have them work with their OBGYN to get one of the three that basically help with acne as opposed to making it worse. And then as far as the PCOS is concerned, there is another medication that we can use sometimes called spironolactone, and that we consider to be an anti-androgen type of medication. It is normally technically used as a blood pressure medication,
Okay. But
it does have action on the androgen receptor, and it helps block the androgen receptor, which again, like I said, we're going to help decrease the male dominant types of hormones. And this tends to be helpful not only for acne, and we tend to use it a lot in dermatology for acne, but it also can sometimes be helpful for people with the hair loss that you were mentioning too. If the hair loss is due to androgen excess, then we can sometimes use this medication for that as well.
So let's talk about results and success, because I want women to know that there's solutions out there for them. There's treatment. They don't have to suffer with this. And things can be successful as far as treatment. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. So what I like to do, and like I mentioned, there may be a couple different reasons why people are having the acne. So we talk about, all of the options. We talk about getting on a good skincare regimen. I look at the actual type of acne that they have. So if they have a mixed picture where they have, the hormonal distribution, but they also say they have some on their forehead or other parts or their chest and back, Then we talk about, you know, other treatment options and targeted medications that they can use for not only the hormonal component, but if they have another component as well. And another thing that I also aggressively treat is what we call post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation.
Okay.
So not only do people get acne, but because they're darker, sometimes their color cells or melanocytes get overly active, and then they get discoloration as well as the acne. And sometimes for a lot of my patients, the discoloration is more worrisome than the acne. So I aggressively treat that as well. And there's a different, you know, several different options for that. Sometimes that's like a whole in and of itself too. But just know, like you mentioned, you don't have to suffer.
Right,
and the more aggressively you come, you know, to be treated, or the sooner you come to be treated, the better chance you have at, you know, really getting this under control sooner rather than later before any permanent type of scarring can take place.
What do you say to a woman who says, I don't have the money for all of that, so I'm just going to see what I can find at Target?
You know, a lot of times people may be surprised there are a lot of affordable options. And so, you know, especially if people have, you know, health insurance, you know, we can certainly prescribe medications that are covered by your insurance. Like I mentioned, even the oral hormonal options tend to be covered by most insurance. You know, for people who do want to try to do things, you know, over the counter or things like that, yes, you could try, but just know that if it's not getting better after a few months, you may need to come in and have something more, you know, prescription grade. And so I think that's important too. But yes, there are things that you can do over the counter. You can certainly get active ingredients like benzoyl peroxide, you know, things that have retinol or a type of retinoid. So you can certainly get those as affordable options. But you definitely want to make sure you exhaust all of your medical options that would likely be covered through your insurance first.
What you said was so key, and I'm going to highlight this when we edit, because I think that the perception is you start over the counter first, and after you've exhausted all your over the counter options and wasted all that money, then see if you can go to a medical doctor. And what we have been trying to hone in to everyone about hair loss, but even skin care, is go to the doctor first.
Right.
Your insurance is going to cover it. A lot of times there are options that your insurance will cover, and the doctors know most of the time what insurances will cover which treatments. And
absolutely.
So you don't need to worry about the guesswork. Just make the appointment today, sis. That's my call to action to everyone listening. Schedule an appointment today if you are presenting with some of the symptoms. If all of this sounds way too familiar to you or for you, then I think it's time for you to go ahead and schedule the appointment, at least some type of evaluation with a doctor first, and let them try those treatments. And I, for me, honestly, I believe that working with you know, a board certified dermatologist is always going to be more effective than over the counter anyway, because it's catered or it's personalized to you. So I want you basically to help me to address, right, the natural hair community or the natural community, because we're all making this wave into clean and non-toxic, no chemicals. We don't want nothing to do with active And I just want you, what do you, if you could say one thing to that community about, you know, everything has to be, you know, from, not to say from nature, but out of your refrigerator, everything has to be all natural, and they're not seeing any results. What can you say to them?
Yeah, again, I can't emphasize enough the importance of going to see a medical professional, because, you know, there are a lot of us who are very aware. I do a lot of natural things myself. And so they're also aware of some of the little, you know, tricks or tips or things that you can do. But, you know, we do have medicine and science. We know that these treatments work. We know that they're effective and that they can be helpful. And so it's really just a matter of having that open discussion with your doctor and really, you know, kind of, this is what I'm comfortable with. You know, I would prefer to try this approach, but just know that these are effective treatments that are safe and have been used for long periods of time, most treatments. And so it definitely is something that, you know, still is a possibility, but, you know, just really making sure that you have that open and honest discussion with your doctor.
You heard it said, please take the help, take the help. In some cases it's free or your copay might just be a couple of dollars, right? In comparison to spending hundreds of dollars on over the counter natural products that may not naturally be for you. So just take the help, or just at least speak to someone first, and then you guys can work on a plan that's as natural as can be for you. So where can they find you and see some success or some success stories or some results, some before and afters?
Yeah, so because I'm at the university, I don't post a lot of before and afters, but they can certainly, you know, come to my office. I am in Southern California at Loma Linda University. I do virtual consultations for both medical as well as cosmetic. And then, of course, they can always follow me on Instagram at JLukeMD. I post a lot of, you know, great helpful tips for both skin and hair. And so hopefully that's there. That's, you know, enough info to basically get them in the right direction.
Instagram is the best place. And we're also going to link all your information down below in the description box. Thank you so much, Dr. Luke, for joining us at Hair Scripts. She is an avid supporter, guys, and I really appreciate you being on here to talk about PCOS and hormonal acne with me today.
Of course. Thanks so much.
All righty. Take care.
Okay, you too.